Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Massachusetts' response to the opioid crisis centers around making more addiction treatment available. For some, that treatment is not voluntary. A legal process known as Section 35 allows relatives or other concerned parties to ask the court to involuntarily commit someone to treatment.
The volume is extremely high.
Plymouth District Court Judge Rosemary Minahan is a member of the Governor's Opioid Task Force.
Just this week, we had 7 on Monday and 5 on Tuesday. Those are high numbers. We never used to see that many numbers coming in this court.
Judge Minahan says Section 35 requests across Massachusetts have gone from about 5,800 4 years ago to 7,500 in the past year, and she expects a dramatic rise this year. Those increasing requests come from people like Anne-Marie Welton of Cohasset. Welton says she's run out of options in her 2.5-year struggle to help her 19-year-old daughter overcome addiction.
I just said enough is enough, and I also know she's been on this merry-go-round for a couple of years. I just knew she wasn't clean. I don't know any parent who hasn't done it sort of a last-ditch measure. It's just because we're encouraged by the fact that a Section 35 usually provides 30 days of lockdown supportive treatment.
And does it provide 30 days?
It doesn't. Ideally, it should, but we've done it 3 times, but the most she's ever received is 21 days, mm-hmm. and that's because of a lack of beds. There are no treatment beds. The last time I did this, she was actually sent to prison. She was sent to Framingham.
Did she get treatment there?
She did not get treatment. She got detox. She was isolated from the criminal population, supposedly for her own safety, but she wasn't receiving any services that would treat her addiction.
How did your daughter respond to your efforts to try to be sectioned all these 3 times? I mean, was she on board?
No, she was not on board. She fought me. But I have to say, each and every time after 5 or 6 days of treatment, she did say she understood. She even sent me a letter when she was in Framingham saying she understood that she needed this done. I don't think any of them want to be this way, you know. It's not a conscious choice.
In response to concerns of parents like Anne-Marie Welton, Massachusetts Human Services officials are trying to make changes in how Section 35 commitments work. Chief among them is getting patients out of state prisons. Health and Human Services Secretary Mary Lou Sutter says the first step in changing the process involves having the state spend almost $6 million to create 45 new beds for women at Taunton State Hospital, and moving treatment from under the Department of Public Health, where it is now, to the Department of Mental Health.
So one of the reasons of moving this to the Department of Health is to provide a longer period of hospitalization at Taunton State Hospital. Obviously, we're starting with women, and then we're expanding the number of clinical stabilization beds. So I'm hoping for a smoother transition from higher level of treatment to then the next level of treatment to help people on that long road to recovery.
The ultimate goal, Sutter says, is to move treatment out of the criminal justice system. But Judge Rosemary Minahan says because criminal activity often follows addiction, the courts will always be involved. And she says the criminal justice system can be an incentive for people to get into and stay in treatment.
While it is public health, I think the courts are a great treatment option. One of the things we decided in the governor's task force was that everything's in the toolbox. So I think as going forward, the courts are a very valuable resource for this toolbox with the opiate-addicted population, particularly those that are behaving either in a dangerous way to themselves or others, or are involved even more so in criminal behavior.
Minahan says the Section 35 law needs to be more strictly enforced. For example, she says although the law requires follow-up after someone is released, that typically does not happen. Judge Minahan says many times patients are discharged for various reasons and they go right back to using again. But the biggest problem, she says, is that the 198 treatment beds now available are not enough. And many families who come before her, she says, are desperate.
You know, I can remember an individual who came before the court a while ago and then indicated that he had driven his daughter to get heroin during a snowstorm. He indicated that the reason he did that was that he knew she would do anything she could to get that heroin. So he reasoned that he would be better off driving her himself and waiting outside with the windows rolled down so that if something happened or she was in there too long, he could go in and save her.
Amory Welton, whose daughter was recently held at Framingham State Prison and then went into a residential program, understands that desperation. She has a new problem with her daughter.
She went to a residential home in Boston, which is fabulous. And unfortunately, it's not a lockdown, so you can walk out, and she chose to walk out. I don't know where she is right now. And I'm worried.
When did she walk out?
3 weeks ago.
You haven't heard from her in 3 weeks?
She has a cell phone, and she's texted me on and off. She just won't tell me where she is. I know she's alive.
And she won't tell you where she is because she's afraid you'll go and
possibly section her again.
It's got to be really, really difficult for you to go and do this.
It's a nightmare, and it's so psychologically hard. It's just really, really hard.
State officials say the new treatment beds for women could be ready this fall. After that, they're going to focus on new treatment beds for men as well.